I'm going to tell a story about a time when I lived in Arizona. When I was a much younger fellow, I was in the military and stationed at Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix. 18 to 19 years old, and I was a hospital medic. And on weekends, you know, I hung around with other 18 and 19 year olds, and we had the most fun going to places that I don't know if any of you would know or have heard the expression juke joint. Any of you know what that means? You know, you go into the place, they don't have a liquor license, one light, one door, smoky, always a fight, somebody's always getting thrown out, the police never comes. So, in Arizona or in Phoenix, the juke joints were on Buckeye Road, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with that area. And, of course, the Elks Club was on 7th Avenue. But we spent our time, our best times, on weekends going to these juke joints. However, there was one older fellow. We were in this hospital squadron, about 500 people. There were five black people, four of us enlisted, and one black medical doctor. And, of course, I'd never seen a black person who'd even gone to college before. But he was always trying to get the rest of us who enjoyed juke joints to go to nicer places. You know, he'd say, oh, I have tickets to, you know, this concert, you know, this jazz concert, you know, the ballet. It's like, okay, doc, that's fine, but... we really had this other thing to do. And he was much older, or, you know, when you're 18, anyone over 25 is old. He was about 35. But this one weekend, you know, he kept asking us to, you know, go with him, and we kind of felt sorry for him because he didn't have anyone to hang around with. So he said he was going to this program at Sun Devil Stadium at Arizona State University, and there was going to be a speaker. And we thought, damn, you know, who wants to go, you know, to listen to a speaker on a Saturday night? But he mentioned that, well, you know, there may be some young co-eds there. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe we'll go. So we went with him to listen to this speaker. So there were the five of us, and the place was pretty packed. There were even people on the hill, you know, over the stadium where you sit when you don't have money to pay. Even though it was a free event, they took up collections at the end. So we sat there and we listened to the speech and didn't meet any co-eds. And at the end, Doc said, well, why don't, you know, we go down on the field and meet the speaker. And it's like, okay, fine. So we go down and meet the speaker. Doc knew him somehow. And he was this short guy that hit me about here. And, you know, I shook his hand, and I remembered he had such a weak handshake, and he wouldn't look me in the eye. So I didn't think very much of him, you know. It's like, who is this guy? Two or three weeks later, we're in the barracks, and one of the guys who went with us to hear the speaker, he called us out of our room, and he said, hey, come on out here. That guy, you know, who was at the stadium, he's on TV making a speech. And we said, nah, sure. And we go out there, and sure enough, there he was. And this guy is in Washington, on this stage making this speech, talking about how he had a dream. Wow. And it was Martin Luther King. We didn't know. And I guess looking back, if I had known, I would have spent a little more time and said, hey, you know, what's up? And a conversation with him, or... And I would have thought more about, you know, actually meeting him. And I realized that maybe, you know, his handshake was weak because he shook a lot of hands in his time. And he looked a lot of people in the eye. So he was a lot stronger than I thought.